Everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to BMW Championship Week. I'm Brian Ballengee. We're going to have a full slate of programming for you today. We're going to talk about the BMW Championship in depth, and then we'll spend a little bit of time on a few other events that are on the docket this week. Danish Golf Championship on the DP World Tour, which is at a bit of a new venue. Got Torbjørn Olesen basically is the host this week. Out in Denmark, then you've got LIV Golf playing their final individual event, regular season event, whatever you want to call it. Out in Indianapolis at Chatham Hills, a Pete Dye design. I won't be at the LIV Golf event. I will be in Indiana next week after the event, but I'll be in Indiana at French Lick Resort for the Korn Ferry Tour Championship Media Day. We'll talk a little bit about the Albertsons Boise Open for a smidge, and then the other Pacific Northwest event of the week is the standard Portland Classic on the LPGA, but that'll be the back end of this show. Let's talk about the BMW Championship, which is played in my neck of the woods, Kays Valley Golf Club, Owings Mills, Maryland, which is a little north of Baltimore proper, I guess a little northwest, I guess if you put it that way. But anyhow, I've had the good fortune of playing this place a couple different times over the years. It's hosted a variety of things. It had the first LPGA International Crown, had a U.S. Senior Open. It's had the BMW Championship 4 years ago. A whole ton of the Constellation Senior Players. It's had a variety of things. It's a really great golf course. It's a Tom Fazio design. It was redone in 2023 in what they say was 100 days worth of work, which means you can't really get that much done in the 100 days, but you can get some stuff done in 100 days. They expanded some greens to create more hole locations, to create some slightly more penal kind of misses on greens, if that makes sense. This place was lit up in 2021. You have Patrick Cantlay versus Bryson DeChambeau in what turned out to be a really great mano-a-mano matchup in the end. And it went pretty deep in the end, but that was a Cantlay victory. He went on to win the FedEx Cup that year and comes back to a place where he probably feels pretty good. I mean, he probably also feels pretty, not, I wouldn't say fortunate to be here. I mean, he's in the like 20-ish range in the FedEx Cup standings, but he's not the same guy, right? And obviously Bryson's not here. He's in LIV Golf. So we've got 49 players competing this week. Sepp Straka pulled out with a personal matter he has to attend to at the outset of the week. So he's not playing. Scottie Scheffler has a filling caddy again. He's got Chris Kirk's caddy on the bag this week as Ted Scott continues to deal with whatever his private family matter is, and we certainly wish Ted Scott the best in whatever he's going through. And then you've got Rory McIlroy back. He didn't play last week. He's playing this week. I think you need to kind of know a little bit about Kays Valley before you make some picks this week. I think this is very much a course story of the week, right? You got 40 the best players in the PGA Tour this season. So how do you differentiate between the best of the best, you know, the top 49 of 50 compared to the other, you know, 150, 175 players that have played some kind of tour event this year and maybe earn a point or anything resembling making a cut? That's going to come based on the profile of the player this week. And so I think this is very much understanding Kays Valley. So let's talk about Kays Valley. Kays Valley is a Fazio design. So think about, you know, Fazio had a big thumbprint in Quail Hollow. And I think you have to think of it in that regard, right? The place is long. It's 7,601 yards. A little bit longer than the last time. They added some length from 2021. They found some extra room on this property to make it a little bit bigger. They dropped the par by two shots to 70. That doesn't really matter other than you get eight strokes less against par over the course of four rounds. But the number is probably not going to be dramatically different. Adding 250-ish yards from 2021 isn't going to make that big of a difference to players of this caliber. However, 7,600 yards is long enough, I think, that length matters a little bit more this week than other weeks. This is also a fairly wide golf course in terms of landing areas. At the pinch points, it gets down, you know, 25-ish yards, but you could play a lot of these holes without hitting driver. especially if we're a longer hitter. You can mash the ball around this golf course. You can hit kind of cuts and bullets that will run into the choke points if you really want. The rough is supposed to be a little bit deeper, so we're talking 3-4 inch deep rough. And that rough can get pretty gnarly. I've hit out of that rough before. It can be pretty nasty. So it's not going to be a guarantee that you're just going to be able to smoke it up there if you hit it anywhere. That will not be the case. It'll be a little bit tougher. So I'm not thinking that, 20 to 23 under par is going to win. For one, the par has been modified. So you'd be looking more at like 12, 13 under par. And then I think it'll be a little bit tougher. So I'm thinking like a 10 under par score wins, right? 10 under 270, if you are into such things. I don't know what I haven't looked at Jeff Sherman's prediction market for that this week. I'll look at that real quick. Just try to give you a over under for him is 262.5, which, I mean, that's 17.5 under par. I'd be a little surprised if it got that deep. I would probably play the under here. I think you probably come out ahead there. But that said, you should emphasize driving the golf ball this week. There are a couple of reasons why I don't think you should care particularly about putting, and I don't think you, or at least strokes gained putting and strokes gained on the approach. And the reason for that is these putting surfaces are huge. They're big greens. You're going to hit a lot of them, especially if you're a world-class player. You might not like where you hit them, but you're going to hit them. And with the way strokes gained works, if you hit a target and you hit it and it's far away, you kind of lose strokes because you're far away, even if you hit the green, because it's proximity-based and surface-based. And then if you're putting from far away, you may do better because you two-putt, right? The expectation of you making that putt is way lower. So it's going to kind of stymie that a little bit. So I wouldn't put as much fruit in those baskets as I would, particularly compared to Southwind last week. Last week was a ball striker's paradise because the greens aren't quite as large. I mean, they're still fairly big, but not huge. And proximity to the pin, strokes gained on the approach. If you were hitting it close to the flag and hitting the greens, you had yourself a chance, right? Bad putters had themselves a week, right? I mean, JJ Spahn's probably the best putter outside of 30 feet I've seen in a long time on the run he's on currently. But he's not a great day-to-day putter. Justin Rose is not a great putter by any stretch of the imagination, but he can putt. He's a world-class professional. So I think you should put a little bit more emphasis on off the tee. And that all said, that's going to lead me to recommend a lot of bombers. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the model for this week. So here's the top 10 of the model. It really isn't that different than last week's, other than that Rory's in it because he didn't play last week. Number one, Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, number two. Both those guys are above 2 points. They're the only two guys above 2 points. I would say if you're above 1.5, you're doing awesome stuff in these kinds of models. If you're above one, you're someone to really like, I think, based on a longer-term view of their play. Tommy Fleetwood's three, Xander Schauffele's four, which I think that's kind of interesting how quickly Xander kind of lost the plot there and that kind of stranglehold he once had on the third spot or even the second spot for a little while in the rankings last year. Russell Henley, fifth. Makes sense. Hideki Matsuyama, sixth. Pat Cantlay, seven. Ludvig Åberg, eight. Harry Hall, nine, believe it or not. Chris Goddard, 10. That's a little bit of a surprise. Justin Thomas is 11, Corey Connors 12, Keegan Bradley 13, Matt McNeely 14, Victor Hovland 15, Colin Morikawa 16. So there's basically a third of the field for you. Again, this is a look toward all tournaments, quality of competition included, weighted, also regular, just kind of in general, strokes gained. We're looking at this tournament the last 3 years. This one moves around, right? So the 2021 tournament is not included here, so Cantlay does not get the bump from the 2021 win here, even the slightest bit. And then also the last 10 events played on the PGA Tour. So all of that kind of weights together to get this number for each player. We talked about Brian Campbell last week as a potential guy because you had to put the ball in the fairway to really have a chance. He is dead last in the field rank this week, and I would not even entertain looking at him for fun. Last week, it sort of kind of made sense, and he actually played pretty well, considering what his ranking in the field was, and also who he is as the shortest guy on the PGA Tour, and his expectations from the mark and odds standpoint. But we'll remove any thought about that this week. I think there are some players that really stand out here again, thinking about who's played well recently in distance, right? You've got Scotty and Rory, right? They're bombers. Rory loves driving the golf ball. It's his favorite thing to do, right? And there's a reason to bet him this week. At 8-1, I don't like that. And we'll go over some of the odds here. But at 8-1, I think you're going to find yourself hard-pressed. But yeah, I can't wait to bet Rory. The value's not there. So if you're thinking about bombers, then you want to look at someone like Ludvig Åberg, who I think a lot of people are on this week. I've seen way too many articles in passing with Ludvig's picture or a mention of him somewhere. He's going to be like the chalk guy this week. And I get it. I get it. Keegan Bradley, I think, is worth a look for a couple of reasons. One, didn't play his best in Memphis. I also didn't think he was going to play his best in Memphis, to be honest with you. That's not the kind of course I think he really loves. I think he plays the Travelers particularly well because it's wide in the right spots, but also he's inspired by that kind of home tournament thing. This feels more like his speed. It's kind of like Castle Pines in that regard, that you can kind of bang it off the tee and you'll probably be okay. I kind of like him here at that 50-1 number. I like Victor Hovland. He loves hitting the ball far. He doesn't know from minute to minute what's going to happen. But I do like his chances this week. I think Sam Burns is kind of interesting at 35-1. I like Matt Fitzpatrick more. He's played such great golf. He didn't have the best week last week, but he's played such great golf really in the back half of the season. I think you have to consider him. J.J. Spaun had himself a really nice week in Memphis. I know he didn't wind up winning that playoff against Justin Rose, but he did practically everything right, and he got himself in position to win. You have to take him seriously. I tweeted that I think he's going to be awesome at the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. He's going to be a match play assassin with the way that he putts from distance. I mean, if he putts anything like he did to win the U.S. Open, or for that matter, you know, in down the backstretch of the Memphis tournament, he's gonna be someone to reckon with. There are a lot of people are gonna be on Cam Young. That makes sense to me, right? I mean, he's hitting the crap out of the ball. He always has, but now he's putting really well. I think there's gonna be a lot of people on him. Tom Dietrich may be interesting to me. He can hit it really far. I think he can keep the ball in play. He's 125-1. I think he's an interesting look. I think Ryan Fox is also an interesting look at 100-1. Again, hits the ball. He's a little bit older. I mean, he's late 30s, but he still hits the ball an incredibly long way, punishes the golf ball. And I think he has figured out how to play the PGA Tour style of golf. And it's different than the DP World Tour a little bit. I think he's figured out how to do it. And I like his chances on a golf course like this. Ryan Gerard, who I have talked about a lot, and I really like Ryan Gerard. I think it's going to be hard to... It's not impossible to bet him. I mean, he's got such a great golf swing. He's going to keep the ball in play. I think the distance may be a little bit much for him, but I also see some parallels between here and Thornblank Club, where he won on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. Again, I like Ryan Gerard's game a lot, so I tend to kind of over-assess him, but I do think he could be interesting here this week. Taylor Pendrith to that end, if you're trying to make a course, if my course comp is fair, and I think to Quail Hollow it's somewhat, I think it's pretty fair, then Taylor Pendrith is a guy you got to think about this week. Again, not playing his best golf, but a guy you got to think about this week. Kirk Kitayama, man, he hits the ball really far. I saw some comparison last week between TPC Twin Cities and TPC Southwind because of all the water in play. And that turned out to be somewhat true. Kitayama played very well. I think he's worth a look. I want to err toward the side of bombers. The other guy I want to mention is Akshay Bhatia, who has played really well the last few weeks. Seems to have found something that's really boosted his confidence out there. I think he could be an interesting player. I think so. This crowd in Baltimore last year really was awesome. Or not last year, 2021 was awesome. They were incredible. And I think they're going to be rowdy. I think they're going to be really into it. I think they could really get behind someone like an Akshay if he's in contention, kind of ride the wave a little bit. So those are kind of the folks that stand out to me. I think there are opportunities to bet longer shots. Do I think they're going to win? No, not necessarily. But I think if you're trying to, so there's two schools of thought about betting, I think. And a buddy of mine, Chris, we text pretty regularly. He's of the different school than I am. His school of thought is, I want to go have the guys that have a chance to win, and maybe I scrape out a little bit of money at the end. And he bets a lot of live, in-game stuff, and he picks up guys as he sees them contending, and ultimately has a fair number, you know, most of the contenders in the end. It's just whether or not he can eke out the prices to get a profit if the right person wins, right? I am not of that mind. That is not how I think about betting. I think about betting more from a pre-tournament value perspective, and that I don't go chase too much unless there's something I see out there happening that you just have to take advantage of. But I would rather have the value pre-tournament and be wrong and know I got the right value based on what I believe is going to happen than to go chase. And I'm not the best live bettor of golf, right? So I want the value ahead of time and with plenty of time for it to figure out. I'm a great live bettor of the NBA, but I'm not a great live bettor of golf. And I've realized that about myself. So if you think about this week, if you're in one of those two schools, right? If you think about, hey, I don't care what the odds are. I just want to bet the person most likely to win. I don't care about value. I don't care about things about implied value or expected value, anything like that. Then yeah, go bet Scotty and Rory. I probably wouldn't bet Scotty as much because I think Ted Scott is actually really valuable. But go bet Rory. He's 8-1. That's not the best price, but okay, yeah. But you might have the winning ticket at the end of the week. And I'll go, well, my Ryan Gerard ticket didn't win, but I really like the value on it. I still have $0. Well, then okay, that's fine. I think that it's okay to go bet either school. So that's just something you got to consider in these really short field events. There's no cut. There are things to play for, but if you're a top player like McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler Sepp's all the way through. All the way kind of like down to like the 14th or 15th person at least, maybe even closer to 20 in the point standings. You're getting into Eastlake, so you have nothing to lose. The format has changed, so there's nothing to play for seeding purposes. You don't get starting strokes at the Tour Championship anymore. So with that gone, there really isn't a motivation to play for Tour Championship seeding if you're a higher seed. You just got to get in the tournament. Now, they do have bonus money that's going to get paid out this week. Scottie Scheffler is so far ahead of everybody else because Rory didn't play last week. He's guaranteed the $5 million bonus for being the number one player at the end of the BMW Championship in terms of the FedEx Cup point standings. He's guaranteed. Can't be caught. He's going to be number one, and that will mean nothing going into next week. But he's guaranteed $5 million no matter what happens this next set of days, right? Whatever that is, he's winning that. So the motivation for him might be a little bit different. You got to think about such things. But for a McIlroy, he's going to get in the tournament. He loves Eastlake. He plays it well. He's not guaranteed the second place money by any stretch of the imagination. But if he has a decent week, he's going to get $3.5 million or whatever it is for the second place prize money. So there's, but for McIlroy, who cares? What's another $3.5 million to him? He just earned $10 million from the regular season by finishing in second. So, he's got money on top of money. He doesn't care about that. But if you are, Sepp Straka cares, right? He hasn't won $11 billion playing golf. He's unable to play this week. So Russell Henley, kind of mean, I mean, he's made an insane amount of money, but bad example. But, you know, money means different things to different guys, let's put it that way. So if you are in the Tour Championship, pretty much no matter what, and I'd say the top 17 or 18 players are in no matter what happens, then you can just play for this week and just, it doesn't matter, you know, YOLO, right? If you're not in, which leaves, you know, 31-ish players who aren't in for sure, those guys are playing for this week and for next week. They got to know what they need to do at a minimum, and then they've got to go do it. Maybe the tournament doesn't mean quite as much, but once you get into contention, things change. I want to go over the weather forecast real quick with you, because it has rained a ton on the East Coast this summer, and if you don't live on the East Coast of the United States, and there's a chance of severe weather today. Not a great one, but there's going to be a ton of rain, like a lot of rain, 2 to 3 inches of rain today alone. Softer, longer. Now, they have the precision air system for the green complexes, so the greens are still going to be great. They installed those, which was a really smart move and a very good investment by a wealthy club. However, that 2 to 3 inches of rain is going to affect play for at least 2 days in terms of tee to green. So the golf course is going to play longer. So I think even more emphasis on bombers. The weather forecast otherwise is hot and sunny. 92 to 95 degrees every day. Mostly sunny the back 3 days. Very low chance of rain. If you know anything about the Mid-Atlantic, you know that storms can kind of pop up out of nowhere and create delays, and they won't be in the forecast. That can absolutely happen, and there probably will be one during the course of the week, just gambling here. But that 2 to 3 inches of rain expected to come today is going to soften the golf course pretty good, and it's already probably pretty soft. So just keep that in mind. Low winds all week. Don't worry about that. That's not going to be a thing either. So this will be a little bit of target practice. And to that end, if that's why Jeff Sherman has a 262.5, that's why. Because the weather that's going to come today is going to lengthen but soften the golf course, but with precision air, should still be pretty solid. So I still think that over 262.5 is a good number, but I understand why he's put it there based on the softness that he's expecting to see. We don't have a horse for course thing to talk about, because this is a traveling tournament. We don't really have, you know, past winners don't particularly matter here because it's a traveling tournament. So let's get into a couple of other things before we get into the other tournaments of the week. Let's talk about kind of last 50 trends, variants, you know, the usual stuff that we talk about here. And then also I want to look at kind of that short-term form that I think is important to talk about, particularly at this stage of the season where we have a lot of long-term numbers, but let's talk about form basically the last two and a half months. So let's start with that. Again, these tools are available for our members over at golfnewsnet.com. We have a lot of people in this field who are obviously playing very good golf, right? You're the best of the best. You're the best of the best for a reason. So using our metrics of strokes gained total, which is 1.2 strokes gained total per round in the last 10 events played, whatever cut of those you played, and then 1.5 strokes per round quality strokes gained, which is strokes gained total multiplied by the quality of your competition as measured by the official World Golf Ranking. That list only expands by 2, so pretty much the same group of people. And then separately, looking at player strokes gained on the approach, 0.6 strokes per round. Now that's a little bit more spread out, and I think it means a little bit less this week, as I mentioned, but I'm still going to go over those folks. So here are the people who qualify either based on total and quality strokes gained. And it's a lot of them, in order descending from total strokes, you know, the strokes gained in the aggregate. Scheffler, Henley, Griffin, Goddard, Fitzpatrick, McIlroy, Fleetwood, Harry Hall, Kurt Kitayama. His approach play is fantastic, by the way. That's really the big difference here. Keegan Bradley, J.J. Spaun, Bobby Mack, Nick Taylor, been playing great on the approach. He's going to struggle this week off the tee a little bit, though. Jason Day, who could be a little bit of a sleeper here, but his putting is phenomenal. That's really what's carrying him. Harris English, Ludvig Åberg, who's one of the bigger gainers in strokes gained off the tee. Vic Hovland, who really hasn't gained a lot off the tee, but his approach play is unbelievable. And then the guys that are qualifiers in quality strokes gained, but just shy on the other metrics. Matt McNeely and Xander Schauffele. Now, we'll do the approach numbers here, and we'll do this in, you know, descending order, of course. There are fewer of those guys, right? And most weeks I would say to you, you should dial in on some of these guys because there might be value there because they're getting the ball toward the hole pretty well. They're just not doing something right, whether that's putting, whether that's not hitting as well off the tee, whatever that is, whatever's costing them. But this week it's going to be a little bit different. So we'll talk about strokes gained off the tee in a minute, and we'll come back to that. But here are the players best in strokes gained the approach last 10 PGA Tour events played. Scotty Scheffler, Kurt Kitayama, Shane Lowry, Victor Hovland, Akshay Bhatia, but he's weak on strokes gained off the tee. Russell Henley, Colin Morikawa, who's gaining quite a bit off the tee, believe it or not, but his putting is so bad. It's unbelievable. Ben Griffin, gaining a lot off the tee, by the way. He's doing everything right. Nick Taylor and Lucas Glover, who's struggling with putting, but pretty much good at everything else. And let's talk about strokes gained off the tee. So those leaders are, so let's go down to 0.35. Yeah, let's say 0.35 strokes per round gained off the tee. So here are the leaders currently. Chris Goddrup, Colin Morikawa, Ludwig, Kurt Kitayama, Ben Griffin, Ryan Gerard, who's doing a lot of things well, but cannot putt for a lick right now. I mean, his putting is so bad, it's unbelievable. I mean, he is the worst putter in the field, statistically, I think, right now. That's the knock on betting him. Scotty Scheffler, Johnny Vegas, good off the tee, but terrible in the approach, terrible putting. J.J. Spaun, Taylor Pendrith, who's positive on everything, just kind of playing it solid golf. I think he could be, again, a guy to mention here this week. Corey Connors, stinking on the approach, which is not like Corey Connors, but hitting it well off tee and putting it great. And then Ricky Fowler and Matt McNeely. Those guys would qualify. McNeely struggling with the approach play. Fowler, pretty decent at everything, just kind of shy of being on any of the lists that we talked, you know, the total and quality strokes gain lists, playing pretty okay. But I think the take from this, J.J. Spaun's playing great everything, so, you know, don't underestimate him again. Taylor Pendrith's hitting the ball pretty hard. Gerard, if he can just have a decent week putting, could be a really interesting player. Kitayama continues to play really well, but struggles putting. And then Morikawa's hitting it really well, tee to green. But the putting, man, he's got to find a mallet or something. I don't know what he's got to find. Maybe he's got to go to a lab putter. I don't know what it is. But Ludwig really stands out to me here because off the tee, he's great. It's his biggest asset. He's playing well in the approach because he's doing well off the tee. Around the green is really the only thing that holds him back. You've got big surfaces here, so take that out of the equation. You take away the weakest part of his game, he's one of the strongest players in the field. So that's something to keep in mind. For you folks who like to bet top 20s, we're obviously going to have a fair number of players in the field this week that have that kind of 40% or greater top 20 percentage I like to talk about. So let's go over those folks real fast. Scotty Scheffler has been in the top 20 of 18 of the 20 events he's played this season. 18! He's been in the top 10 eight in a row, or 8 of the last 10 or something. Unbelievable numbers. Unbelievable numbers. How often he's in the top 10. Rory McIlroy's in the top 20 76.4% of the time. Those guys are just so much better than everybody else. It's frightening. It's frightening. Now, let's go down find some guys with a little bit of value in the kind of low to mid 40s. I like 40% and above. So, players in the field who are in the top 20 in their share of the last 50 events played, 40% of the time or more. Andrew Novak, Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Denny, although Denny's just struggled off the tee, really struggled off the tee. J.J. Spaun, Bobby Mack, Ben Griffin, Harry Hall, Ludwig. Again, I would probably not bet. I would bet Ludwig to win. Maybe a top, you know, go each way. A win, whether that's six or seven deep, or throwing a, you know, if you don't have the book that does that, win in the top five, win in the top 10, just have a little bit of a backup there. But those are the players you really want to look at here this week as potential value on those top 20 finishes. And then we'll get in, we're doing this a little bit out of order, but strokes gained tee to green variance. Again, we want low variance guys, not high variance guys. Scotty Scheffler falls into the quote-unquote higher variance guy because he gains so much so often that there is, it is technically not a smooth curve because he wins so much and he plays great so much, but I would not count that one. Morikawa has a lot of variance, but the guys who don't that I want to bring to your attention, Fleetwood, Bradley, Lowry, Patrick Cantlay, Siwoo Kim, Ryan Gerard, believe it or not, Daniel Berger, JJ Spahn, Chris Goddard, Ben Griffin, even JT. Taylor Pendrith fits the bill, kind of, and we just saw that in the data from last night. Just doing everything pretty darn well. Guy worth worth bringing up. So I think that kind of covers everything. BMW Championship. It, again, short field, hard to find value, right? We know the top is extremely strong, also part of the problem. I mean, the most likely outcome is a major winner or one of the three best players in the world is going to win, right? Most likely outcome. Will it be that? No, necessarily. So I think you have to go find that value. I think this could be a Ludwig week. I think it could be a kind of bomber first week and someone who has a good week just kind of hitting it in there. But if you remember 21, it was a bomber versus a guy who's a little bit longer than average, but a really good flusher and a very good putter. So it can come down to two very different types of players. Just, I think your archetype this week is a guy who hits the crap out the ball, and they don't have to be the best putter. They've just got to be a pretty decent approach player, and they're going to hit a lot of greens, give themselves a lot of chances. Let's talk about the Danish Golf Championship, which is the DP World Tour event this week. They're in, as you might imagine, Denmark. They're playing at a new venue this week. They've moved this event to It's in Copenhagen. Fareso. Let's go with Fareso. Golf Club. This is the 31st event of the year on the schedule. $2.75 million purse. Getting close to the tail end of the year in terms of the points list for folks that are going to move up to the PGA Tour, move over to the PGA Tour, depending on how you want to say that. The weather is a little bit cooler. This is the top of the table here this week, is, as you might imagine, is guys who have played well this year and Danish guys. So you've got Nikolaj and Rasmus Højgaard, 12 and 14 to 1, respectively. Matt Wallace, 14 to 1. Christopher Rattan, 14 to 1, who's been playing very well. Rasmus Nyrgaard-Petersen, 14 to 1, is going to get a lot of love. Marco Penge, 18 to 1, has played so well all year. Jesper Svensson, I think, could be a threat this week. I like Torbjørn Olsen, well, home course advantage, 20 to 1. Sami Välimäki is kind of interesting to me here, given his positioning. He's 28 to 1. He's had a pretty good year, all things considered, on the PGA Tour. Not a great one, but a decent one. 28 to 1, I think, is worth a play. You got Jacob Skov Olsen, is 30 to 1. Obviously, got into a lot more people's radars because of the Open Championship, that early run there. But he's a good player, right? I mean, I think he's worth a look. Maybe a Joe Dean at 60 to 1 is worth a play. Again, new venue. So you might be opening yourself up to some more, a wider set of outcomes, put that way. Yannick Paul, I think, is kind of interesting as a longer shot. I like Elvis Smiley's game. I don't think he'll love the cold too much, though. I would probably stay pretty light this week. Maybe Marcel Schneider at 80 to 1 could be worth a look. John Catlin, if you've listened to the show long enough, know I love his game. I love what he brings to the table, but I feel like he's kind of struggling a little bit right now. He is 80 to 1 if you care about such things. Maybe a guy like Troy Merritt could be, I mean, just kind of based on the little bit that I know about this course, could be interesting. He's committed to playing the DP World Tour this year, and he's done okay at times, kind of struggling a little bit, but as a longer shot, that could be interesting if the guy hits it pretty far. Again, no, I don't do a lot of DP World Tour action. I tend to follow the LPGA or the Korn Ferry Tour more, but there is value to be had there for sure. Portland Classic, Columbia Edgewater Country Club in Portland, Oregon. Long-running event on the LPGA. Maybe one of the longest-running, if not the longest-running, events on the LPGA. Field's not particularly strong this week. You have players in this field that play this event regularly, and that's why they're here. But last year they had a much better field because I think they thought they had a new sponsor on the hook and they wanted to kind of keep this event alive. Those players haven't come back this year, which is unfortunate. Angel Yin's 9-1, I think, is too short. She's playing great. She's a top 10 player in the world. Too short. I'd rather go at Ryo Takeda at 12-1. She's been playing well. Haydon Ru, 14-1. Lauren Coughlin, I think 14-1 is worth a play. She's really kind of sprung back into form recently. This is way too short of a number because the field's weak, but 14-1 is worth a play, I think. Chisato Iwai already won this year. 16-1, I think, is worth a look. Rosang is playing this week, and she has not had her best year. She's 28-1, and I mean, a couple weeks ago, playing in a major, she was like 90-1. So that tells you about the weakness of this field. But she has played well on courses that are somewhat like this, and I think she knows she could beat a field like this. I would rather go to a Yelimi No at 33-1, who's played this course well in the past. Julia Lopez Ramirez at 45-1, I think, is worth a play. Ashley Buhai has won here, 55-1. I'm not inclined to take her. I'd rather go look at like a Gina Kim, who has won three times this year already on the Epson Tour. She's been on the LPGA Tour. She's riding high with confidence. This is kind of the golf course she should like at 70-1. She could surprise some people. Alexa Pano has shown signs that she's getting there at 80-1. But she's so hard to bet and really frustrating to bet. I'd rather bet Paula Rito at 90-1, who just kind of had a couple of good starts out of nowhere. And she seems extremely streaky. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a lot of value here this week. Maybe a Karis Davidson at 125-1. If you're an LPGA viewer or watcher or fan, Natalia Gusova this time last year would have been like 30-1 to win. And she's now 125-1 to win. Something has gone terribly wrong there. Really kind of hard to get behind her. It's frustrating if you're a fan of hers. Other than that, this is going to be a tough one. I'll throw Kate Smith Stroh out there at 200-1. I think she could be an interesting play here this week. But, I mean, you've got Julie Inkster, Stacey Lewis, Natalie Galbus in the field. Those players are not particularly relevant to the LPGA now. So, just so you know, you've got a weak field. Some things can happen. I'll point her out. I wouldn't bet on her, but Carolina Lopez Chikara, Eugenio Chikara's sister, she's 150-1. She's a world-class amateur, was a world-class amateur, but, you know, is a player that you could be interested in this week at 150-1. But I'll go with Kate Smith Stroh as my dark horse. Albertsons Boise Open on the Corn Ferry Tour. Last regular season event before we get in the finals. Interestingly enough, they're going to take basically 3 weeks off. Almost a month off, actually. It might be 4 weeks off after this, before they start the final series, which I think is bizarre, and I don't know why they're doing it this way, but they're doing it this way. I think the reason they might be doing it this way is to, I don't know, just clear the decks for the Tour Championship, but even then, that doesn't make any sense to me. This is a golf course in Hillcrest Country Club where you almost kind of expect someone to shoot a 60, maybe a 59 this week. It's target golf for these guys. 24, 25, 27 under is going to win. It's not that long. Par 71, 7,100-ish yards. It's a little bit of altitude. I mean, this is a pitch and putt for these guys. That said, you have three players who can get the three-win promotion. It's not going to matter now because they're not going to be able to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs, of course. It will matter because it would give them access for the FedEx Cup fall. But you also want to be number one on the points list in the end because it gives you exemptions into the U.S. Open and the players next year, and you are exempt from every reshuffle. So there is still a really important deal to being number one, even if you have immediate access to the PGA Tour with a three-win promotion. Neil Shipley is 16-1, top of the table. Quade Cummins has been playing well, 20-1. Taylor Montgomery's been playing well, 20-1. I don't think this is a course for him. Johnny Kiefer, 22-1. I would bet him this week. He's going to light it up. Chandler Blanchett and Austin Smotherman. Hayden Springer are 25-1. It's interesting that Hayden Springer is here, you know, dropping down from the PGA Tour where he had, you know, the conditional status. He's been trying to make it out there. Now he's got some time to try to see if he can earn enough points through this event to get into the 156-player field for the first finals event in Nashville. If you do that, you know, maybe you get through it somehow and get your tour card back. You can do it in a few weeks' time. You need 1,000 points, basically, to probably get in the top 20. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But that's a win and a second-place finish between now and the end of the season. So it can be done on 2 good weeks. You got Hank Lebioda, Davis Chatfield, Kensai Harada at 28-1. I think of those, I probably go to Davis Chatfield at 28. Pearson Cootie's been playing pretty well, straddling two tours this year. He's going to get his card back. It's just how he does it. I think he could play this event pretty well, 30-1. Robbie Shelton had a look last week. He probably should have been the winner out in Omaha, but he wasn't. 30-1. Cheston Hadley, Trace Crowe, I think, has played well. Zach Bouchot, 35-1. I think this is going to be a Zach Bouchot kind of tournament. Adrian DeMonte-Chassard, 40-1. I think I would be all over him here this week. He loves playing aggressive golf. He could score very well here. I think he can light this place up and shoot another sub-60 score. I think it's possible. So I like him at 40-1. Emilio Gonzalez, I would keep betting at 40-1. Christo Lamprecht just won. He's going to be on the PGA Tour in 2026. Almost certainly. Good for him. He probably is going to try and step on the gas a little bit here this week, but and he could really play very well at this place as a pitch and putt for him. He hits the ball so far. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays very well, of course. Mitchell Meisner, 45-1, had a really, really nice year on the Korn Ferry Tour. I would go to Sudarshan Yellamiraju at 50-1. Good ball striker. He can keep up and score really well. I like his chances at that number, 50-1. Austin Hitt, a couple folks like him, 60-1. Blades Brown, teen. He's going to be in the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. He's going to get basically through the first three tournaments guaranteed. One more good finish, he's going to get in the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. He will have a place to play next year. But more importantly, he'll be free up with a place to play the final series with no encumbrance. He can just try to get in that top 20. And I think he can do it. I think he could play very well here at 61. Cooper Dossie, 65-1, I think is worth a look. Davis Shore, 65-1. My co-host for the Road to French Lake, our show we do about the Korn Ferry Tour, loves Ian Holt. Brendan Sweeney loves him, 75-1. Not as into him, but Baron Botha I'm kind of into. He's had a couple of good weeks, 90-1. I think he's worth a look here this week. And that's probably it for me. Peter Quest had himself a really nice week last week. Do you ride that momentum at 100-1? Maybe. I don't think so. A lot of people are going to bet Cole Hammer because they feel like he's up and coming. He's just not quite there, I don't think. At 120-1, I don't think it's worth, or 125-1, excuse me, I don't think it's worth the wager. So that's that. Now let's finish up with LIV Golf Indianapolis. They're playing at Chatham Hills, which is a Pete Dye design in Indianapolis proper. It's his last build, which is kind of interesting in that he got a lot more penal toward the end. I mean, he was always very psychological architect, but I felt like he got explicitly more penal toward the end. He really wanted to stick it to the best in the world. So I think for a tougher track, I think you throw out a Neiman. I don't think you throw out a Bryson. I think Bryson could do well, but of your big three, right? Rahm lost in the playoff to Dean Burmester last week, and Josele Ballester, you know, Jose Luis, if you're nasty. But I think of the big three, you would bet Rahm over Bryson and Neiman. You throw in a Hatton here, I think. I'm trying to think of guys that kind of liked Pete Dye courses when they play on the PGA Tour because they don't have enough of a schedule of play, a variety of architects that you would expect to see in this country on LIV Golf. Maybe a Paul Casey, maybe a Cam Smith, maybe a Tom McKibben in the like 35-1 range. Abe Anser's had some decent finishes over the years at TPC Sawgrass, so maybe he's an interesting play at 40-1. Sergio Garcia won a Players. I mean, that's a long time ago, but I think 45-1 is way too deep for how he has played on LIV. He is a player who can win on that tour. Brandon Grace played really well last week. 65-1 kind of changed his odds. These guys are struggling down the back half of the odds table. Goodness gracious. But Phil Mickelson's 135-1, and he's had some good finishes this year. I think he is worth a pizza bet. You know, $3, $4, $5. If you win, you get, you know, $600 or $700, depending on what you wager. I think he's worth a look. I don't think the odds line up with how he has played this year. I think he can still do it. He still hits the ball plenty far. I think you can bet Phil Mickelson this week. All right, so ending on that note, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thanks so much for spending some time with me. I really appreciate it. Next week, we've got the Tour Championship. And there's no LIV Golf. That's an individual event. Last event's a team event in Michigan. So we have a week off for them. You really don't have a whole lot to work with there, of course. So we'll have the last PGA Tour event of this FedEx Cup season next week. We'll have DP World Tour. We'll have LPGA. I think they take the week off for the Championship. We'll put it all together for you, of course. We'll give you a good look at a non-handicap tour championship. So that's going to be pretty fun, I think. No starting strokes to worry about for the first time in 6 years. So we'll have a good time. If you got any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm online on your social media service of choice at Ryan Ballingy or Ryan Ballingy Golf. Join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. Thanks so much for listening or watching when we do the video versions of the show. I'm still in Myrtle Beach, and you don't want me doing the show from my bedroom. So we won't do that, but next week we'll be back and can do a video version from the Golf News Net studios in the D.C. area. Thanks so much for listening. Good luck with all your bets this week, and we'll catch you next time right here on Two Off the First.